Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Good morning. It is Thursday. This is the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are live here in the Kia Studios. I sound out of breath. I tried to bend down to tie my shoe, and then I thought I was going to miss.
No diaphragmatic breathing while you're tying your shoe.
No, no. We're live in the Kia Studios. Mike, Poe, and Tiff. You're hanging out with me.
Put your hands up.
Pathetic. Pathetic.
Would you ever used to do that, like in conditioning when you'd run? You'd hold your hands up?
No, they tell you you're supposed to lean over now.
No.
That's the science.
I don't believe it.
I don't. Coaches were all wrong. All of our coaches were wrong.
You know what? Hold on a second. We got to stop reinventing science. Okay, so you're telling me the way we did it. Look at how healthy we are. I mean,
I cannot confirm that.
And all of a sudden now, the science we live by for years is wrong.
No,
where we raise our hands when we run.
No, you always wanted to lean over after like a strenuous thing.
No.
Naturally, you'd want to lean over, but they would tell you no. Put your hands up or stand up straight.
But remember in endurance training in soccer, like did y'all ever run like the cross country tracks and stuff in high school when you were doing through conditioning for soccer?
College. Yeah, we did like 3 days trails, all that stuff.
Yeah, we did that in high school, and it was always like if you were getting out of breath, don't stop, just raise your hands above your head.
That. Not while you're running.
Not while you're running.
Oh, yeah, I did
what
that.
What kind of?
I cannot tell you. One of my welcome to college football moments at Bama was, they're like, hey, don't bend over while we're conditioning. Don't bend over. You're not allowed to lean over. And one morning, I'm just letting it dig, just puking because I was so exhausted. And I bent over just simply so I didn't puke on myself. And I got yelled at, and I'll never forget that day. They're like, stand up! I'm like,
that's awesome.
I started like kind of like half leaning towards my shoulder, like, I don't know what to do. Help me! I'm puking.
You should have just threw up on somebody.
Well, I didn't want to be that guy, but man,
you
like,
are that guy though. Go ahead and embrace it.
No, I don't think I'm a puker on people. That's all right though.
Have you ever had another human being throw up on you?
A child? I mean, your kids, possibly. No.
Yeah, I mean, other than children.
Count.
Yeah.
Not an adult.
That might as well just be dirt for kids to do it. It just happens all the time. I don't know, man. I don't think so.
Thanks, appreciate that. That makes me feel like
I told you I puked on the carnival ride.
Assuming
it fell on.
Yeah, you did.
Did you tell that story on air? That was so good, dude. Was it the Ring of Fire? Is that what it was?
It was a tall white thing that you were just up in the air. I don't know what it was called.
Did you go upside down at all?
No, you're just spinning. Yeah.
I always love the Ring of Fire.
This way or like the looping starship?
No, not the looping, spinning, like a twirl.
Oh,
like
those things are so fun. Kind
of not thing. Like a wheel spin, a twirl spin.
Yeah, that's the thing that it raises up a little bit, but it doesn't go too far up because it's like an incline.
It's just, the whole video, I know we got to move on. The videos of the Ring of Fire, though, where, you know, because it just goes in a circle. So if somebody pukes at the top, it usually lands on the same people when they get to the bottom.
Because of gravity?
It's just so bad. So bad.
Apologize for the gross talk this morning.
Yeah, hopefully nobody's into their breakfast just yet, but it's all good.
We're
rolling on.
Shortly. But this hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. All right, the Falcons getting set for the Panthers this week. And Kirk Cousins was named the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. Of course, that comes off of his record, franchise record-setting performance with career bests in both completions at 42 and passing yards at 509. He completed 42 of 48 passes. So that is a 72.4% passer rating right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I think that's more passes and attempts and completions than Desmond had through like 8 weeks last year. Mm. But
you went there.
Okay. Yeah, I did. I chose violence. You know what's funny is
at this point last year, you were still talking about him being Super Bowl MVP, though.
Leave that man alone.
I know. I was still not off that train. We hadn't broke up yet. They've already had three NFC Player of the Weeks, two in defense and one in offense. They had only three last year. And it was week 1, week 7, and week 12. This year it's 2, 4, and 5. Kind of a cool thing. But if you look at the last six player of the weeks for this Falcons team the last 2 years, three of them are one name.
Jesse Bates.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy, ain't it?
It is cool. And you know, one of the things that, and obviously, Dylan did a nice job printing this out so we could kind of read some of the stats that the Falcons are throwing out. This is the craziest part to me. He's the 13th player in NFL history to pass for 504 touchdowns. That's elite company. You're talking about like the baseball equivalent of that is like throwing a perfect game. You know what I mean? Like there's just not that many people in history that have been able to do that. 500 yards and four touchdowns.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd go perfect game, but yeah, that's a huge accomplishment. And the fact that so few people have done it, and I think what we've had two in the last 8 years in his franchise, nine seasons apart. It's kind of wild. I was reading Josh Kendall's article about Drake London, and not to move away from Kirko and his big day.
It fits. They're but kind Drake, of going to the same umbrella.
But yeah. Drake London had 154 of those, which was. Did y'all see that?
I did too. Just scared the tar out of me.
Someone just moved in here. None of us are near.
Yes.
Just moved on its own. I thought somebody was opening the door because the creak.
The microphone, I'm sitting here talking, and it just violently goes in a different direction.
I don't know.
I don't mess with the spirits.
I think this might be the ghost of Desmond Ritter coming to get me.
Yeah, it might be. It might be. You were talking trash.
But he had 154 of those, which was, I think yardage wasn't a career high, but the catches was. But, dude, he's 12th in the NFL in receiving this year. With 32 catches for 354 yards. Drake, three touchdowns. Drake London is quietly having a pretty good year, like a breakout-type season. He's got 44 targets with zero drops, and that doesn't mean the ball hasn't been knocked away, but he is not a drop that should have been a catch. And 34% of his catches have come from his slot. Those are all numbers. Josh Kendall in The Athletic, I didn't do that much research. I just read his article, but that's... It's pretty wild that 34% of his catches have come from the slot. Because I don't think people would – and look, I think it shows he can line up anywhere, Mike, but I don't think people would think that he would be getting that many targets and catches out of the slot.
No, I don't think so either. And I thought you brought up a good point a couple weeks ago when you said he's essentially playing like the tight end spot and not like lined up on the end of the offensive line. But you're right. He's kind of playing off tackle a little bit every now and then and kind of making those catches across the middle, contested catches. It's funny, man, because your perception changes so much after a game like last week. And, we did, like, fair foul leading into the year, and I think there was a fair foul. It was, like, multiple guys on the team with 1,000 yards, whether it's a running back with 1,000 and a receiver with 1,000 or whatever. And we kind of went back and forth on that. And so I think after week one, I was kind of off that train of like these, you know, multiple receivers possibly doing things like that. But it's funny how you kind of throw for 500 and all of a sudden things start to line back up. Like it's like a correction, you know, that Kirk was able to get to last week. So it's just fun to see. I'm glad he got the player of the week, man. It's three of the first 5 weeks of the year, like we said, Falcons have been involved in the players of the week. So it's cool.
You can stay the conductor on that train of having guys having a multitude of players piling up and racking up the yardage. Coach Raheem Morris, he said it's not just about Kirk Cousins. They've got to lean on a number of key players on offense.
You know, it's hard to just say Kirk. You know, I think part of, you know, not playing as well as you possibly can play when you go somewhere is you put too much of that on you. And I think once you get to the point when you can lean on Drake, when you can lean on Kyle, when you can lean on Mooney, when you can lean on those up front guys like Chris Lindstrom, you can lean on those guys up front, Jake Matthews, that can really just help you in those tough crunch time situations to lean back and trust your training. I think those are the most important things. But Kirk, he's been outstanding. Like we talked about every single week, his ability to get better and better every single week has been, you know, exactly what you've wanted from a coaching standpoint.
I think there's a lot of fans and even some media members that would say, well, Darnell's the number one. Darnell's the number one receiver on this team. And I disagree, and the numbers disagree. I think that Drake is still your number one for Kirk, and I think he's actually – I think he's taken that role even more in the last the first 5 weeks of the season, more into his hands. I think the issue is he's just so drastically different the way his targets and catches come from Darnell. That big plays seem to come from Darnell, so people want to levitate to him being the one. But in reality, I think Drake London is clear-cut the number one receiver for this team.
I think he is, but here's the kickback I'll give you on that. I'm not so sure that Darnell's not the most important receiver we have because of what he does to defenses and the speed that he brings and his kind of ability to stretch the coverage kind of allows Drake to do some different things in Drake's own game. So I agree with you. I think Drake's definitely one. I think that Darnell, though, his importance, it's almost like we talked about last year with the Hawks, man. It's like it's clear that Trey is the guy, and you're going back and forth. But the things that Jalen Johnson does for that team kind of makes them different, right?
Yeah, you need that balance. You need that yin to the yang, right? It's the difference in who they are as players is so, to your point, is so great that you've always needed both, and you didn't have Darnell in this offense. You have had no Darnell Mooney this offense since Calvin Ridley left. And honestly, he's essentially been gone since 2020 because he only got a few games from him in 2021. So it is allowed Drake to be that much more effective in the role of the receiver he is. But he's also changed. He showed much more in his game this year than people thought he had.
He really has. And when we come back, we're going to get the latest on college football and some headlines for you. You know, the Dogs are going to see Texas in just a few weeks here. What's the quarterback situation going on in Austin? We will discuss next on The Morning Shift. That's next on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. MIDI offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
Back here on the morning shift, I have something to say.
Uh-oh.
I have a fancy little, you know, the coffee maker at home, and I have nice coffee that goes into this coffee maker, but I'm out. But I have to say, and I'm not trashing the office coffee. What I'm about to say is the office coffee tastes better than my little fancy coffee at home. And is that because it's free? Is that why?
Lordy, oh Lordy! Really? Jeffy's 40! Oh, no.
Oh, my goodness. You guys are going to make me cry. I'm like, guys, why'd you thank you?
Well, you know, we weren't going to miss it
thank
this year.
You. Thank you, guys. It's very nice of you guys. Thank you.
You get the video for the social.
Still videoing like mom.
I know that you'd respect the social work.
I would. You need to go vertical, though. It might make it better.
Oh. Yeah, I've been told you don't do it. You don't do videos like that. But
that's all right. Okay. Thank you, Day Day. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yep.
Tim! You thought we forgot.
I actually didn't. I was actually not going to talk about it.
Yeah. What you were going to do is wait until like 8:58
and
the handoff.
No, I honestly wasn't. I swear I was. I was not. This is very, thank you guys. This is very nice of you guys.
Happy birthday.
That is
40 long years ago, Tiffany Big Time Blackman was born on this day.
Yeah.
You're giving a soliloquy.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm going to take your moment and give a speech.
I was actually genuinely surprised. Thank you. Surprise.
Good.
Thank you guys.
Good. Do you feel older today? Does it say 46 the way I requested, or is it just say?
Okay. Let me look.
Okay.
Look.
No, it doesn't say 40.
No, it just says 40. Yeah. So,
we're going to go with 39 if that's okay.
I'm all right owning it.
Yeah.
I'm cool with age.
Nice.
That's fine.
Nice.
Still feel good.
Age is but a number, Tiffany.
I don't think I'm going to be that friendly when I'm, but like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel I don't like, I'm getting to the point where I don't like birthdays. So, good for you, man. I love that.
Thanks. I mean, you have every, well, never mind. That's going to sound like a Debbie Downer. So, never mind. But,
every birthday is one step closer to death.
Yeah. Wow.
No, I wasn't going to say that. I was not going to say
a bundle of joy.
No, but thank you. Thank you, guys. I know I've been a curmudgeon just because I run on fumes week to week. So, I appreciate you guys still being nice to me, even though I've been not as nice.
Jason, we all in this business, we all run on fumes, some more than others, some less than others. And you burn the candle at both ends with your travel and your work. But we're happy to be a teammate with you and a friend. And
I appreciate it.
There's your soliloquy.
I'm not gonna.
I can't top
shed
a
tear this morning, but dang it, you guys.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're good. We know. We got you.
Yeah, that's all right.
Dang it, I appreciate it.
Of course. Good.
Maybe it's hormones because I'm 40. I'm good.
Shove some cake with that fancy, non-fancy, good-tasting coffee, and you'll have a hell of a breakfast.
No, the coffee's good. That's what I said.
I said the non-fancy, good-tasting coffee.
I don't even know what to do. Thank you, guys. I have a cake. I have a mini balloon with, it looks like there's chocolates in there.
Yeah. Yes.
It looks like I'm going to need to go to the dentist.
The best part is it says best wishes on it.
Let me go.
Read the
am I getting fired? Am I getting fired too?
Turn it around. Best wishes.
I got bad news. I messed
up. Don't
let
the door hit you on the way out.
We knew that.
Good luck.
That the best wishes thing has you written all over it. You're like, oh, it'll do. Best wishes, whatever.
I love it.
I'm on a flight to Reno today. Not how I envisioned for my game, but I will say, if anyone from Delta's listening, you know,
upgrade you.
If you guys want to, you know,
let me upgrade.
I did try to flex, you know, on everybody with this thing called a regional upgrade and bypass the upgrade line.
Oh man,
I'm hoping that it kicks in. But if you happen to be the gate agent,
pull some strings. If Ed Bastian is listening,
if Ed Bastian is listening, you want to make me a 360.
You know
member.
What though? I will say this.
So you know, that's the only thing.
If Ed Bastian is listening, here's what I'll say. That should be a part of what Delta does. If somebody is flying solo on their birthday, they should get an automatic upgrade. I am here for that. I think that should be a locked-in rule from now on.
If you're flying at all, you should get an upgrade. Of course, that'd be a lot of upgrades. You never know how many people have the same birthday.
Well, it depends. If there's eight people flying to Cancun for somebody's birthday, you know, on their birthday, you can't upgrade everybody.
Yeah, just
that
upgrade,
deserves to get vaulted
just upgrade me.
Well, at least a free drink.
I was going to have to go to the gate anyway to check to see if the regional upgrade thing kicked in. So my hope would have been, like, they'll look at your license, they look at whatever, and they're like, it's your birthday. And then you just, you know, give you the upgrade. But I don't know if that's going to work in my favor today. Yeah. But I'm hopeful. So if you're listening, thank you.
But where are you landing at?
Reno, Nevada. Okay, which I was told is
this would be info that the gate agent would need.
They would need this. It is the Atlantic City of Nevada.
Yeah, is that what it is?
What does that even mean?
I don't know, but it's so.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know. Anyway,
it's the Daytona of Florida's East Coast, is what you're saying. Oh, man.
It's Daytona.
I appreciate you guys.
Anyhow,
thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Bo, Mike, Dylan, Day-Day, thank you guys so much. I appreciate it.
Yep.
Okay, your check on some MLB and the playoffs. I can't even talk anymore right now because I'm thrown off, but I know how much Bo wants to talk about the Mets and Phillies games and how you're rooting for the Mets.
Well,
they did beat the Phillies.
I was.
Game 4-4-2-1.
I was rooting for the Mets.
So you just changed your mind now?
No.
Okay.
They have finished off.
I was going to say, it's not an active thing. Things have changed now.
Yes. Now that they have eliminated the Phillies, the Mets are public enemy number one. I just want that to be very well stated. However, it was kind of bittersweet to see them do to the Phillies what the Phillies have done to the Braves the last 2 years. Braves win the division. Phillies got hot in the wild card. They beat them. Last year's NLDS went...
Hey, bittersweet? I thought you hated...
I hate
the Phillies.
I do.
It's bittersweet because
it happened
to the Braves.
I have to see the Mets do it.
Okay.
That's a good point.
But the reality is the Phillies beat us the exact way the Mets beat them in the NLDS. Game one, beat us. Game two, miraculous comeback. You think, you know what? They got it. They've turned it on. Everything's going to be okay. Game three was a domination by the Mets. And then game four last night, the Phillies had it. I mean, they were up 1-0 into the sixth inning, and they pull out. I can't think of the guy's name that was pitching for the Phillies, but they bring in Estevez, and Estevez can hit 100 easily. And my favorite part is he comes inside on Lindor and with 100 miles an hour, and the umpire even steps out and kind of looks at Lindor and was like, you're good. And Lindor just kind of leans back and goes, yeah.
Gives and a little shoulder stretch.
Yeah. And the next pitch, he hammers
Tater
to right center.
Yeah, he did.
And that was it. And the Mets win. And so I just really enjoyed all the Phillies fans and their arrogance and some of their hosts up there and all of that just kind of getting the egg on the face because they all thought they were going to turn it on. Now, they're all going to play the game today to say that the Phillies didn't play their best down the stretch. Not necessarily wrong. But they're going to play it wasn't the rest. It is the rest. And Major League Baseball has to figure out how to keep these players that have these 4 to 5 day layoffs in a routine because it affects baseball more than any other sport.
I disagree with your assertion that they're going to try to say it wasn't about the rest. I think most Phillies fans are going to say it was about the rest, and I think they deserve it because they weren't saying that last year when the Atlanta Braves had to deal with the same thing. Oh, it's about the rest. Well, good. because we dealt with it down here. All right, and so maybe it's time for you to kind of swallow your pride a little bit and admit that that might have had something to do with the win you had last year. That's how I feel about that, man. But no, and here's the thing, Tiff. I'm watching this game last night, and Kyle Schwarber's up to the plate. He's the last batter up. Edwin Diaz is on. He's throwing 100-101. And there was still part of me, with two runners on and Schwarber up to bat, that thought this is going to be a Philly moment where Schwarber hits a 500-foot tater off a 101-mile-an-hour fastball, and this is just going to be the next chapter. And the Phillies are going to be, you know, coordinated and everything else. And so it was not, I mean, literally Diaz hits 101 on the outside black and just sits Schwarber down. And I thought it was awesome. Edwin Diaz just had so much emotion on his face. I mean, and obviously all the Mets players did. Edwin Diaz didn't even, like, celebrate in the dog pile. He just kind of stood back, and he's just screaming expletives. And they're showing him on the camera, and he's just, ah! You know, he's just screaming at the stands, and everybody's like dogpiling behind him, and he just kind of hugs the catcher, untucks his shirt, wait till the dog pile calms down, and then just starts walking out towards the dog pile. And I was like, what a G. Like, that guy, you imagine being as good as you are as Edwin Diaz and just being like, don't need to celebrate, unfinished business. Time to move on to the CS, baby.
I just think people celebrate differently. I think screaming and cussing is how he celebrates, and I can relate. So
you think you'd do that, too? You'd be square in the middle of the dog pile. You'd be the guy leaping on top trying to treat the dog pile as a table.
I think I'd be more like going around giving the fans the DX suck it.
Oh, my God. Okay.
You just hit a next level here.
The commissioner would have words with me.
Look, the other game going on NLDS, it was game four. The series is tied between the Dodgers and the Padres, which the Dodgers, obviously the offense was there because they put up 8 runs. But they had a historic effort by their bullpen, and so it was a shutout.
Yeah, and
seven fellow series, relievers, man, in the bullpen game.
Yeah, pretty good feat. Padres at bats have been red hot this entire playoffs.
For eight total
run so far. Dylan Cease started on short rest, did not work out well, so now it goes back to LA, and we could get a New York LA and LCS, which would be huge for the MLB TV offices.
And real quickly, the Tigers and Guardians. Tigers take it 3-0. That was game three, so they lead that series 2-1. And then with the Yankees and Royals, New York wins 3-2.
But more importantly,
the ALDS game three, and that series is tied 2-1. Thank you guys again. I appreciate the birthday wishes.
And Tiff's time out. She's going to be stuffing her face with birthday cake.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. This hour brought to you by Morgan & Morgan. Injured, hire Morgan & Morgan, America's largest injury law firm. College football headlines for you that we had breaking news earlier. This guy surprised on my birthday, so we pushed college football to this segment now. And with Georgia, they're going to see Texas in 2 weeks, and we're talking about who might be the quarterback. And right now, Coach Steve Sarkisian, he announced on Monday that Quinn Ewers it returned to practice during their bye week. So he feels good about his availability for Saturday's Red River Rivalry Showdown against Oklahoma. So if you recall, Ewers injured his oblique back on September 14th. And then it has been Arch Manning who has stepped in and done a nice job.
Yeah, he's done good. He's not been Quinn Ewers, though. And I think that is the thing that fans need to, and everyone needs to understand. Arch Manning did everything that was asked of him, and there's no more he could have honestly done, really, other than just be just perfect. But Quinn Ewers is the better quarterback right now. He was never going to lose his job. The only thing that Arch Manning has done has more at than Quinn Ewers is the family name. He's got a better family name. That's it.
I don't know if that's fair, dude.
Quinn Ewers has been
So what you're doing right now is you're knocking him because of his name.
I'm not knocking
and he
him.
He hasn't used that as a crutch at all.
No, he hasn't, but it has been the hype machine for him.
It's not his fault.
It's not his fault. Again, this isn't about Quinn Ewers and Arch Manning. It's about people that the hype train thinking that somehow two average games from Arch Manning was going to surpass All of the things that Quinn Ewers has done.
Average.
They weren't average games. And I probably undersold it by saying he did a nice job.
Who are the opponents?
I know what you're going to say about opponents, but let's just look at a kid that hadn't played in a college game before coming in, doing what he did.
Don't forget, they were up 7-6 over Miss State with about 2 minutes to go in the first half. He makes a dime of a throw. But it wasn't like they were rolling through teams with arch back there like they were Quinn.
No, but I'm saying like I think people are getting excited about the ceiling for this guy. Or maybe the fact that there probably is no ceiling for him, right? Because you're coming in having not played before and still able to do that and lead a Texas team to a win, I think is still a big deal. And then your mind starts to probably wonder, okay, what else is in store? What else does this kid have in store for us? So that's probably where a lot of the excitement is coming.
I've talked to a couple of different Bama fans that are like, man, it's like kind of like Tua and Jalen. And I'm like, no, it's not even the same because I think they're both more equal in terms of talent. And I think
they're the same quarterback, too. I think Jalen and Tua are different players.
I kind of disagree with that, too. When you look at Arch Manning, he's way more of a threat with his legs. Now, they're both, you know, similar in terms of their style, but we saw Arch Manning in the speed he displayed. I think he can do a little bit different things than you would see from a Quinn Ewers.
I think Quinn can do more with his legs than people give him credit for. I think his problem is he just can't stay healthy.
He doesn't. So I don't think this is as simple as you're thinking it is.
I don't think there was ever any doubt that Quinn Ewers is a starting quarterback for Texas.
I think Quinn Ewers is a possible first-round pick. I had Quinn Ewers as my Heisman finalist going into the season. I think he's great. I think there's probably more upside, though, when you look at what Arch Manning can do in Steve Sarkisian's offense. So I agree with you. I'm not saying they're wrong for starting Quinn Ewers. I just think it's way, way tougher decision than you're kind of alluding to.
I think the fact that anyone thinks in their right mind that in two games, again, against subpar opponents where Arch was, I said average. Maybe that's unfair. Maybe he was good. You want to say good? But he didn't do anything that makes me think, yeah, I'm gonna go ahead and replace Quinn Ewers, who led us to the college football playoff last year, and I was already has a good win and went to Michigan and played very well. Quinn Ewers is and will be the starting quarterback for this team moving forward unless injury, rises up again.
I agree with you. I just don't think it's that easy, man.
I think it's very easy.
I think that if you get 2 weeks down the road and you get shellacked by Georgia, if that were to happen, then I think these questions are going to rise back up.
Well, if they get shellacked by Georgia, a different Georgia is going to come to Austin.
Well, you seem adamant about that. I think Texas
is the best team in the country.
Okay.
I don't think anyone's – I think they're the only team that's shown that they're the best team in the country consistently through 5 weeks.
You just said that they just – basically, the Arch Manning just beat two nobodies the last couple of weeks. So what are we hanging our hat on?
What do you mean? They have beat two nobodies. Miss State is not very good.
But they also went
to Michigan and dominated Michigan.
And you're saying that's one of the best.
I think they have looked consistently better than anyone else. Alabama has struggled at times. Georgia has lost and struggled at times.
I'm going to ask you to lower your volume just a little bit. I don't know why you're yelling at me.
Because I don't like your tone. Well, and I don't like your question.
You sound
I know you.
Angry.
You know you're being argumentative right now.
No, I just think that you're so confident in your answer that doesn't make sense to me, and I don't know why you're that confident. It just is not that simple.
All right, who is shown?
Texas is going to beat Georgia. It's the simple Quinn Ewers is the guy. They're winning the natty with Quinn.
No, like, that's not what,
man,
I said, but
it's
I
not
said
as far
that
as
if,
we're going here.
No, you made the statement, if Georgia come in and shellacks Texas, which Georgia that you've seen so far is showing up to do that? Tell me the Georgia you've seen this year that will show up and shellack Texas.
Second half against Bama.
In Austin. No.
Second half against Bama. No.
They wouldn't.
So, Georgia this week has Mississippi State.
Go Bulldogs.
In their matchup.
Wait, which one?
So, UGA clearly bounced back in a pretty dominant way. What was it? Against Auburn. And I missed that score.
Well, 31-13.
31-13. Thank you very much.
I just had the makings
of some sort of trap-ish game ahead of a game against Texas. Or I know people are probably already asking them the questions. Are you guys looking ahead?
I don't think that, and I think Georgia fans would tell you, I don't think that game was as dominant as they wanted it to be against Auburn. And that was a lesser opponent, and Auburn really wasn't doing a lot of things. But that game was with, you know, I mean, at the start of the fourth quarter, that game was a 10-point, 11-point game.
I think Auburn's a lot better on defense than people will give them credit for.
They definitely looked that way last week until the end, until the very end. Until they got out of hand.
I think they're a quarterback away from being a better team. They show. Look, but let me
it
say
might
something.
Be a Hugh Freeze away.
Yeah, that's not that. You. I don't disagree with you at all.
I'm right.
Can I say something though? Miss State is not Vanderbilt. All right, they are not. Miss State is probably the worst team in the conference.
It ain't no question.
And that's why I was a little bit hard on Texas's performance with Arch last week, where I know they won handily, but to be 14-6 at halftime at home against Miss State, that's rough for me because I saw Florida run through Miss State. All right, they're the worst defense.
But all I'm saying is
in college football,
a player that had not played that took over in a game.
I just think it's obtuse for fans and media, not you two, but other fans, media, to clamor for him to take over. To just come in and play average and say, oh, he should be the starter of Quinn Ewers. It's disrespectful to everything Quinn Ewers has done and everything Steve Sarkisian is doing because you're telling that man that he doesn't know his program. You know his program better than him.
And
I'm not saying y'all said that. I'm saying I've heard that.
Here's the thing. Fans. I think it's a little bit disrespectful for you to bring up his last name and just dismiss the quarterback because of his last name.
It's a little bit dismissive.
At first.
There's no dismissal, but I'm telling you, if Arch Manning's name was Arch Johnson or Arch Morgan, no one would give a damn about him taking over the job. You'd all be saying,
way.
Here comes Quinn Ewers back in to take over because they need him.
That's not true.
It is absolutely true.
I think that there is some. I'm not taking away from his talents because of his last name. He's clearly talented and clearly deserving of being a starting quarterback somewhere. But I do slightly agree with Bo in the sense that the more media, the more the fans clamoring for him to start does have a part of it has to do
Quinn
with
Ewers
who he is.
Is the guy.
You're absolutely right, Tiffany.
It's not that
he's dismissing.
It is not that, but I also agree with you. It's not that clear cut based on the talent of both the quarterbacks. Yeah. When we come back, NFL talk. Falcons, Panthers this week. What does Atlanta need to do to get that pass rush and their defense to keep improving? We'll hear from Coach Raheem Morris next on the Morning Shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you. And also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.